marvelous Amy Holm on 90.3 KMBA, the title track to her solo release, Didn't It Rain? Foy Vance along with Casey Musgrave. There's a great collaboration on Moonshine. Sugar Ray back there, Wright Cooter, and Fleet Foxes started us out with 3rd of May from their latest release. It's 8:26. It is the Morning Line program. My name is Danny Preston. Good morning to you. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, spring's here, and we're celebrating community programming. Be sure and listen for special radio shows this week, including the Big Whistling Swan fundraising show featuring Mike McCormick. It'll happen Friday morning. Also got a great radio special on Ray Davies' new album, that one he's got backed by the Jayhawks on, and a live broadcast reporting from Native Youth Olympics, and lots more. It all begins this week with a spring membership drive, and if you want to make a donation or you'd like to find out about how you can volunteer during our fund drive, maybe you want to come in and answer the phones, you can go to KMBA.org and find out the whole scoop there. 826 KMBA, keeping you in tune with our community. And it is our pleasure this morning to welcome to the Morning Line program, all the way from the deep, deep south, we have Tom Robinson and Atticus Finch. Not really. We have Keith McCoy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who is Tom Robinson? And we have Enrique Bravo, who is Atticus Finch.
Thank you. Good morning.
So Perseverance Theater bringing Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird to Anchorage. And we got a couple of the lead characters. Well, the lead character with Atticus. And so you've already been through a run down in Juneau, right?
Yes, correct. That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And now both of you have been in theater for quite a long time. Tom, you come from Virginia originally, but you're where are you out of now?
I'm kind of out of my suitcase in the airport.
Terminal 8B.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Third seat down.
That's where you can
row.
Find me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. The way I work, I try to line up work so I go from one job to another job immediately, so I never have any downtime. And I've been doing it like that for 17 years now, so I have no place to call home. Okay. My mom lives in Virginia. So that's where I'll go if I have maybe a week or two in between. But for the most part, I travel from theater company to theater company.
Yeah, a vagabond.
That's right.
But where mom lives is where the
that's
heart
where the
lives.
Heart is. That's okay. Where the heart always lives.
All right, very cool. And Enrique, you're a Junoite, but not originally.
Right.
Is it a Junoite or Junoian?
Junoite.
Junoite. Okay. All right.
We'll go with the second choice. Second answer.
Yeah, I've been working for Perseverance for about 10 years. I've been on staff for the last, I'd say, going on the end of my fourth year. So yeah, this is like I think my 20th production with them. So
wow.
Yeah, I've been for about 7 years of that I was coming to and fro from New York, and so that went on for about 7 years. And yeah, now I'm living in Juneau. I love it.
Might as well commit to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it beats a suitcase, or maybe it does, maybe it,
yeah,
maybe
you
it
know,
does.
Pros and cons.
Hey, my suitcase is cozy.
There's that Kerouacian right. thing, and you can hop freights and, you know, all that stuff. And so how about To Kill, have either of you done To Kill a Mockingbird before?
No, I've never. I mean, you know, I read it when I was in grade school. It had been a while. I'd seen the movie, but also all that had been, you know, it had been a while. And I will say this particular production is different from both of those, both the movie and obviously the novel, because you can only cram so much in, right? But there's different sort of facets that each highlights as far as the movie and the play are concerned.
You know, I read recently that Harper Lee was so impressed with Gregory Peck in the lead role in the movie that she actually she wouldn't allow and this is all kind of like third hand urban legend, but for several years, she wouldn't let anybody else. I mean, people want to make a musical out of it, mm-hmm. and they want to do stage plays. And it was some time before she would, because she was so enthralled with, and I guess the right. Peck family and her became a good friends and all.
Well, I think, too, with roles like that, you want to find people who commit and bring certain qualities to it. And it might have been that she just didn't see anyone who had those qualities that he possessed. Right. So, and sometimes you want what you want.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to actually watching it again after this run is over. I won't watch. The same happened with Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. I just could not. But as soon as the play was over, I watched it after. And then it's great to sort of be, you know, because at that point I can say, well, that was my choice and that was his choice. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the differences.
The work is I mean, this is one of those times when the words like iconic are just so understatement and so sort of trivializing. But the classic iconic play that deals with so many themes, and we were chatting before going on air, Enrique and Keith, and about the relevance today, courage and racism, classism, of course, but the culture of the South, gender roles. There's so much going on in there. How do you get your feet into Tom Robinson's shoes, the accused man in the Deep South in that era? You know, how do you prepare for a role like that?
For me, I read a lot of articles about that type of situation that was happening in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. I read about the Scottsboro Boys. I read about the Rosewood Massacre. So I did a lot of research about what was going on and how those gentlemen were accused of something that they didn't do. And it was a shame because, you know, somebody said they did something that they didn't do. And we say in the show, once Mayella Yule screamed rape, that's it. Case is sealed, you know, nails in the coffin. So with that in mind, I went back and I looked at all of those cases from back then and just tried to put myself in that situation. You know, how would I feel? You know, I know I'm innocent, but I'm fighting someone else's word who, you know, when I walk into the courtroom, my fate is kind of already sealed. So the most you can do is tell my story. It's just a lot of research, a lot of reading, a lot of cases that took place in the past. And I just go from there and start building.
And so many rooted in real life when we think about...
A lot of it's rooted in real life.
Emmett Till, for example.
But I think that's the thing. She took real life and turned it into... Because it's a real situation, just not Tom Robinson and Mayella. It's a real situation that happened numerous times. And most of them didn't even make it to the courtroom because they went to the jail and got the people before then and lynched them. So it's a fictional, you know, a real situation in a fictional world.
Yeah. It reminds me of the great debaters also, and mm-hmm. James Farmer and the horrible lynchings that they saw. And to see that somewhat fictionalized as well, it's pretty powerful. So, Enrique, as Atticus Finch, if you go through and read about a lot of lawyers and judges and such for the last half century or so, it's amazing how many of these people say, I became a lawyer because of this fictional character, Atticus Finch. Why?
Well, I think because of sort of the kind of symbol that he sort of personifies for a lot of lawyers. Like, he's doing the right thing, right? And that's what we as human beings want to strive for, to do something that's morally correct and you know, have that compass that kind of guides us to do the right thing. But like you said, yeah, I mean, that's what's been crazy about this, because there is this fictional character has influenced all these real lawyers. We actually, the judge who played down in Juno, he actually is a lawyer in Juno. So it was great to have a lawyer on retainer there and be like, nope, that's not the way that would go down. So that's been almost like a blessing and a curse, because there's so much written about this character. And so, it was kind of like he said, a lot to sort of sift through and sort of what I take to make it my own. But I mean, first and foremost, he's the same as a father as he is a lawyer. You know, he just strives to do the right thing, and which is, you know, easier said than done.
Perseverance Theater presenting To Kill a Mockingbird at the Performing Arts Center. Shows happening Thursday. This Thursday, day after tomorrow, through Sunday, May the 7th. Of course, centertix.net is where you can find out more information. Enrique, you alluded to the term moral compass. And where, get the heavy part of the questioning here. Is 21st century society's moral compass pointed in the same direction as it was in 1960 when To Kill a Mockingbird was written?
I mean, that's why I think a play like this is important to do now, because some of those, like we talked about a little before, those themes and issues that you think would have sort of vanished by now, we're in 2017, are still very much alive. I mean, there's a line that I say when I say, was Tom Robinson shot 17 times? Mm-hmm. And because that's sort of the rumor out there. You stop and you think about all these cases that are going on now where these, you know, young colored men, and you know, it happens across the board, that are, you hear about these shootings that happen, and did it really take 17 bullets to take somebody down? And sort of sometimes those sort of specific, you know, threads of this play really kind of hit me in a way that I didn't expect.
Well, and too, you know, like, because of technology and society today, we have a light, we right. are able to shine a light on that, whereas before you couldn't. So things possibly happened that no one ever knew about, and if a police officer or whoever the case may be said, well, this is what happened, most people took that for their word. But because of technology nowadays, you can look at things and say, no, what you're saying is not accurate, this is really what happened, so you need to own up to what you just did. And you know, there has to be some sort of justification for that, or justice needs to be served in a case like that. So I think because of technology, that has helped, you know, shine a light on it. But I don't know if racism is as structured as it was back then, but it's still there. Yeah. It's definitely still there.
And one thing that I think it's important with these new technology, you know, the cameras and the mm-hmm. films and all these things, is for people of color, questioning of authority has traditionally been a very dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in 2017, and if we look at how polarized certain, you know, facets of our culture and of our society are. It's, I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird, it's relevant today. It could be written today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about, now this is, I find fascinating because having just watched the movie recently, and it's sort of fresh in my mind, I'm amazed at, I know you've got a great cast. You probably, we could talk about them all day, but this whole book, the play is told through the eyes of the protagonist, young scout.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does this play out on a stage?
Right. No, it's great that you, and we're so lucky to have the kids that we have. They're all sort of, families are connected to theater, so they sort of get it.
All theater brats.
They're all theater brats. Yeah. But yes, I mean, I think sometimes people forget that aspect of the story too, especially because, you know, Gregory Peck's performance is so sort of legendary. But yes, it's
Oscar winner, best
right, exactly.
Actor, yeah.
But it's also a loss of innocence, right? These kids go through this, you know, heart wrenching thing, to try to sort of. And they're figuring it out as they go as well. But yeah, we've been very fortunate to have these kids. And I think that part of the show does stay intact mm-hmm. within the play structure, that you see these kids sort of start to realize how the real world works, you know, for losses.
You witness their perspective changing from where they began. And it's the whole thing of seeing them change. They come in with one set of beliefs, and as the story goes on, they start to take time to actually get to know people, walk in someone else's shoes. Atticus talks about that a lot, where he's like, you know, just don't judge a man by what you hear. Take a minute to walk in his shoes. Take a minute to figure out what he's gone through, and if what you hear is true. And you see that with the kids. You see that arc from where they begin to, well, where Scout begins in the show to where she ends in the show.
Right,
she's become wiser throughout the process.
Yeah. After Anchorage, are you going on the road?
Nope, this is it. This is where our final stopping point. It's hard enough to bring, you know, a show from Juno. People don't realize all the legwork that goes into that. But I did want to sort of just plug the dates. We got to pay as you can. Coming up on Thursday, April 26th, and that's at 7:30. And we go from opening...
That must be April 27th, Thursday.
April 27th,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Got it.
And we open the 28th and go through the 7th. There is matinees on Saturdays at 2, And we also have, you know, evening performances at 7:30 on Saturday and 4 o'clock performances on Sunday. So it's two weekends. Get out there.
Okay. Come see us.
Centertix.net is where you can find
it. PerseveranceTheater.org, yeah.
PerseveranceTheater.org. Well, gentlemen, really a pleasure. Keith McCoy, a.k.a. Tom Robinson. Thanks so much for coming
Thank you
this
for
morning.
Having us.
And Atticus Finch, a.k.a. Enrique Bravo. I'm doing this backwards, but that's okay. Gentlemen, thanks so much
for
joining us, and we'll be sure to check it out. Keith and Enrique from To Kill a Mockingbird, presented by Perseverance Theater right here in Anchorage. It's 8:41. Still to come, Blues Traveler, Leroy Stagger, and more.
Join the Alaska Center for an evening of appetizers, music, and live auction items at the Anchorage Museum. Pull out your cocktail attire and support the center's work to empower Alaskans to stand up for clean air, water, and healthy communities. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, May 19th at the Anchorage Museum. For tickets, go to akcenter.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Center.
News programming on KNBA is sponsored by BP Alaska, celebrating 40 years at Prudhoe Bay.
Graduation rates for Native American students in New Mexico are significantly lower than the average, according to the state's education department. On the next Native America Calling, we'll hear from Native educators about what it takes to help students succeed. And we'll hear about some of the promising ideas to keep students in school. We hope you'll join us.